Welcome to the class on worldliness. We'll go ahead and get started this morning. Okay, I have something shown on the overhead here. And I want to ask you, what kind of animal is this shown on the overhead? And you might look at me kind of funny and says, Rocky, you've been retired too long. What's wrong with you? You're in the wrong class. This is not a biology class. This is a Bible class. What are you doing talking about animals? The Bible has described the devil as a serpent in the Bible. We're very familiar with that. And the reason why he used a serpent was it tells us that he was very crafty. So Satan is described as a serpent. He's also been described as a roaring lion because of his ferociousness in wanting to kill his prey and putting the prey's life in danger. And so the devil's been described as a roaring lion. You won't find in the Bible Satan described as an octopus. But after engaging in this particular study, I think an octopus is a good animal to describe. You're very familiar with an octopus, right? It's got all these different legs. At the end of each leg, it's got these little suction cups. And you'd heard the stories, you've read the books, remember in school, how it hunts its prey. It's got these long arms. And it sneaks through the water, and it's looking for its prey. And it first of all tries to attach the smallest suction cup to the animal, but that's not the end of it. It'll try to reel in that animal, try to curl it up and get those other suction cups. Well, Satan is the same way in using worldliness. He's very crafty. And when we think about worldliness, we think that his impact is probably affects us in every facet of life. And they're long arms, and that the influence of them can be very significant in our lives. So we used this animal to kind of set the stage of this study. And the title of this study we're going to engage in the next 3 months is The Long Arms of Worldliness. You recall Brother Steve has had a couple lessons on Satan in the month of November. He talked about different names in the Bible of Satan, talked about his nature. Those sermons kind of dovetail right into this study, because what we're going to be talking about the next 3 months are basically the tools of Satan. What does Satan use to snare us? Well, he uses worldliness. In this particular class, we've got 9 items of worldliness we're going to talk about. And these by no means are all the items of worldliness. There are others, but for sake of time and for this study, we're just going to go ahead and focus on the ones that you see on the legs of the octopus. Now, what we need to do as Christians, as you know, is what do we do? What are we doing now? We're taking the Word of God. We need to look at our lives with a good, honest heart. The Word of God has been described to us like a sword. So if Satan has entangled us with this worldliness, through this study, we need to take that sword, the Word of God, and cut off that influence, because we know that he is seeking our destruction. We begin our study here, and if you open your books on page 3, we'll begin by asking ourselves, why are we engaged in this study? We actually have 3 particular reasons. The first reason, and I've alluded to this verse here, 1 Peter 5:8, is to increase our alertness. You know, Satan doesn't give up. It doesn't matter if you're 16, 36, 56, 66, 86. He is still seeking to devour us. And so we always need to be alert. Our alertness should never stop. Because he doesn't stop, we ought not to stop. And the scripture is pretty clear. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. So the purpose of this study, why we're having this study, is to increase our alertness about Satan's schemes in the area of worldliness. He will use that to both to influence and tempt the Christian. And the question we need to ask ourselves, has worldly attitudes and desires and practices crept into our lives? We're all here gathered together among brethren, real solid, strong church here, strong, mature brethren. But even though we come to church, make all the assemblies, do our Bible study, try to live our lives the best we can, it does not immune ourselves from being affected by worldliness. There may be some worldliness attitudes, practices in our lives. And so we need to approach this study with a very honest heart and examine our lives personally and our family's life to see if worldliness have crept into our lives. The second reason why we need to do this study, as you see in the next, and this kind of falls in, we want to be alert, we want to increase our alertness, is of course we want to, if we do have worldly influences and desires and practices, we need to repent of those evil influences. Open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I want to read a few verses here. We know about Isaiah, the great messianic prophet. Here in chapter 6 is where Isaiah gets his call from God to go out to be this great messianic prophet. There's three things that happen in this particular chapter. The first part is he has his heavenly vision. And we want to pay attention to the second part here, starting in verses 5 through 7. I'm going to go ahead and pick up and read here. In Isaiah's talk, he says, "Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." Let's look at verse 5. So what does Isaiah says? He sees his heavenly vision. He is confessing to God by saying that I am a man of unclean lips. We know each person is responsible for his own sin. Now let's analyze the second part. And he says, and I live among a people of unclean lips. What is Isaiah implying here, or what is he saying? Possibly what I believe he's saying here is he has been influenced by the people, living among the people. We know sometimes the word "and" in the Bible does not mean two separate things. "And" may be describing why he's a man of unclean lips. Whether that's the case or not, he's bringing this thing into being. I live among a people of unclean lips. Brethren, we live among a people that's unclean, right? Unclean lips and many, many other things. I believe what Isaiah is saying here is that he has been influenced by the world that he lives around us. And so we too are also influenced. And so we need to recognize that what is that influence? You know, let's not be thinking because we come here that we're immune to those evil influences. And we may be like Isaiah. We may be a person of unclean lips and not realize it. But here Isaiah, he's making this confession. And God recognized this thing, right? So symbolic, this angel came, brings this burning coal to his lips, says, your sin is forgiven. He has confessed, repented of his sin, and God has acknowledged it. And we find again this point about him living among unclean lips. In preparing for this study here, and I knew this was happening before I prepared the study, but even more so after I have completed this study, I stand in front of you this morning here, and I'm willing to admit that there have been some worldly evil influences in my life that have been in the past. I'm not going to say what they are specifically, but there are some worldly influences impacted my life. I'm not immune to it, and that's not an excuse. And what do we need to do about it? Just like Isaiah it is, we need to confess it, we need to recognize it, and then, of course, what he's asking for God's forgiveness. Okay, I don't have this in your notebooks, but it's a very familiar verse here over on the overhead, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Here, Paul, in this chapter, talking about the bodily resurrection, he has a section here about, of course, he's writing to Christians, right? The Corinth church are a bunch of Christians. Evidently, some of them have gotten away. They're being impacted by worldly influences, and they're living, if you look at the surrounding verses, talking about eat and marry, you know, Paul is coming down on these here in this resurrection chapter. And what did he say in chapter 15, verse 33? He says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Now, I have a question for you here. We're very familiar with this verse. There is an underlying assumption here that is taking place here that God is assuming that is in effect and going on. What do you think that underground influence is going on? Or what's going on behind the scenes that... that's a reason why this verse is being stated. What is it recognizing?
Influence.
Influence, exactly. Influence. And this is the point that I made earlier, but, you know, talks about bad company corrupts good morals. You've heard it said. Steve has said it. Other men have said it. We all influence people, either good or bad. You influence your family. You influence your workers, your neighbors. We all have an influence. We influence others. Bad people can also influence us. And so this warning here is not just for, you know, the worldly. It's also for us. And the point and the underlying thing here is there's that influence going on. We should not dismiss influences. Well, I'm a strong Christian. I've been a Christian for 20 to 30 years. This influence will not impact me. That's the devil's lie. You believe that? That's the purpose of the study, is don't have that type of attitude. We can and are being influenced by the world. The last part of the reason why we're having this study is, of course, is kind of falls within the next 2 points, is staying saved. Go with me to the Philippian letter, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians 2, chapter 12. Verse 12, excuse me. We know as Paul is writing here to the Philippian church, we know this church was a very strong church. When you look at the letter, there are no major issues raised about to the brethren. Maybe some minor issues, not like some of the other letters that he wrote and other writers wrote to the New Testament churches. A very, very strong church. It was such a strong church, they supported the Apostle Paul. And in this letter, he calls this church my joy and my crown. When I look at the church here at Humble, I kind of think about, it looks a lot like the Philippian church. But here, to this solid, mature church, Paul's joy and crown. What does he say in chapter 2 and verse 12? He says, "So then, my beloved, just have you as always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." We know if we're saved, we got to continually work at it. Paul is telling these mature brethren, you got to work at your salvation. And also recognize, note the attitude here, with fear and trembling. Just because we're saved today doesn't mean we're going to be saved tomorrow. God is still a God of judgment. And we need to have that sense of fear and tremble and continually work day by day in staying saved. Okay, let's now go on to what the objectives of this class are. I got four objectives. Now, in this class, I'm going to be asking, you've already looked at the material, I'm going to ask you to have, everyone's going to be in the class, to have all your material done before class is starting. But even though I'm going to ask that, that is not the most important part of this class. I'm going to ask you as class participants to know all the review questions. But knowing all the review questions, that is not the most important part of the class. The most important class, there's only two things that I want you to get out of this class. No matter what you remember or whatever you do, these two are the most important things that you get out of this class. So be thinking about that. And the first one here is identify worldliness influences that have crept into your life. And don't say right off the bat, I don't have any. As we go through this study, think about it. You're going to hear other brethren maybe give some practical applications of things that maybe have come into their lives. Maybe just the tip. Maybe it's that little end of that leg of that octopus. Just, you know, maybe got attached. Maybe there's something we're watching we shouldn't be watching. Things we're saying we ought to not be saying. Some things that we're doing that start reflecting not an attitude and trust in God. You know, these things, if they have started to crept into our life, we need to cut off those influences. So the first most important thing here is in your own personal lives and in your family's lives, identify worldly influences that have crept into your life and be open-minded. Think about it. This is a serious, serious subject. The second and most important thing, it doesn't do any good to know that we got this problem here and not do anything about it. We need to act upon it. And so the second objective here is these are not going to be things you share with the class. These things you got to do on your own is develop and execute a plan of repentance. You know, take care of the problem before it gets more severe, because that arm of that octopus still wants to reel you in a little bit further and further to the point of your destruction. So we need to stop that worldly influence. Okay, the third objective we have is to answer the review questions. In your notebooks, if you look in the very back, there's a review questions. If you were in my Isaiah class, it's going to be handled the same way. And that those questions are for the entire course, and they're broken up by our different lessons. And so Each student is expected to be able to answer all those questions. And the last objective here is there's a lesson plan that had been developed for this course, and it's to satisfy that lesson plan. We're not going to talk about that in particular. That is in your notes. You can look that over on your own. Okay, let's talk now about our study approach. Study approach is going to be a little bit different than I've conducted classes in the past. It's actually an approach that I got from Brother Fontenot. I'll talk more about that later. The first item on the study approach here is when I designed this course here, I had the intent that what I wanted to do as we study worldliness is to immerse you in the scriptures. And the way that I'm going to do that, and if you looked through your material, is I have provided you the text in your notes. And this is the New American Standard Version. And what we're going to be asked to do through all the rest of the course is to do markings, do highlighting, and to answer the questions using the words and the phrases in the text. I don't want you to paraphrase. You pick out the answers by highlighting, underlining things, and doing that. I have likened studying the Bible like growing a garden. You got to get your hands dirty, and I'm trying to get your hands dirty. Get the scriptures, do the markings, analyze the text. So here's the question: where is the answer in the text? Don't assume you know the answer. Point it out and get have the words that kind of back that up. So I'm going to show you an example of how I like you to do this here in a moment. But so this is what we have here is marking up the text. And if you have electronic devices, I encourage you to download the questions into your iPads or whatever electronic device you do and do the markings electronically. Now, I have provided the New American Standard Version, and I've also provided all the digital files on the website. If you don't want to do the markings in the New American Standard Version, you can get the digital file and change the text. And if you don't want to do that, I'll change the text for you. So if you want the entire class material and whatever version you want to do, and you're interested in doing the markings, I will provide that for you. So it's very, very important that we do this approach and do the markings. I think it'll be a very important part of this class, and I think you'll gain a tremendous amount from that. Okay, the second thing that you're going to see in this course is you know from the way you are after living all your life that how do we learn? We learn through repetition. And so there's going to be a lot of repetition in this class. And you're going to be seeing a lot of things here. And he says, I've seen that again. Why am I showing you it again? It's because I'm trying to drive home these principles. If they're not already ingrained in your memory, I'm tempting by this repetitiveness to go ahead and for you to remember, you know, the key principles, the key learnings, and the key scriptures. So just kind of tell you all the things that I'm doing here to get to do this repetitiveness. First of all, I started with the pre-reading. I asked you to look at the scriptures beforehand. If you've done that, you already have encountered the scriptures twice. When we do the lesson material, that's the third time that you're going to come across the material. Fourth time, I'm going to be reading the scripture in class. Fifth, the verses are going to be projected on the overhead with the markings on it. And then we're going to go through reviews. So some of the major principles, you're going to hear these things seven or more times. And I'm not trying to be dull here. It's just, you know, it's important that we pick these principles up if they're not already ingrained in your memory. And so we're doing the repetition is for a purpose. And also, as you see here, is there's going to be a lot of visuals. You got the notebook with the verses. They're going to be up on the overheads. There's going to be these previews. I'll show you about this preview here in a moment. If you came in early, you saw the previews and kind of explained the purpose behind that review. So that's the repetition. We will do, like we did the Isaiah class, is we will start class every time with a review, 5-10 minute review. And the questions we're going to be covering are there in the back of your notebooks. I'm going to be asking you, even though I don't have a lot of specific examples in the notes, think about practical applications. I'm asking you to think about. If you had an issue with something you think it might be important to highlight to the brethren, or you've had this difficulty and you found a solution, so we want to make some practical application as we study these things. I'm going to be looking for you to give me some input, some things that you have observed. I'll bring a few things, but we do want to, as we study these verses, try to make a practical application. Okay. Of course, we'll talk about class participation here in a moment. Okay, so what I want to do now is show the markup text here. I'm going to show an example here. This is actually for Wednesday. Now, I encourage you, if by chance you don't have your lessons ready, bring your markers. You can mark in class. Bring your markers. If you need extra markers, I have them. I have some extras, and so if you need to do that during class or bring colored pencils, we'll do that. But here's an example of one of the markers he's going to cover on Wednesday night. And so here's one of our key verses here, John chapter 17, verses 14, 21. So if you've looked ahead, I've asked you to look at the word, highlight the word world. So, of course, I'm doing this thing all electronically, and so you can kind of see the words highlighted world. And then in the same color, I don't like what Jesus said about the world. Okay, and so this is the type of work that I want you to do on all the lessons. This is the type of thing I encourage you to do. And trust me, you're going to gain a lot. If you haven't done things like this in the past, they're very beneficial. It takes a lot of work. It's tedious. It takes some discipline to do, but you're going to gain a lot. You're going to start seeing things in the text maybe you never saw before. The Scripture is going to really give you a lot of power and strength and knowledge by going through all this work. So it is good work to do. Okay, I talked about this preview. I want to just quickly go through a preview. And what these previews are previews that are running before you come and sit down before class starts. And there was one running this morning. Every class period there will be a preview running. So I want to just show you a preview and point out some things. First of all, there will be some words about, like, the initial lessons, do you have a lesson? Okay, so you sit down, you see that, oh, I don't have a lesson. So hopefully after a few classes, everyone will have their lessons. But also, we will tell you in this preview where we left off, what lesson we are on, what is the number, what is the title, and it'll give you the page number. What page number do we start, or do you have in your notebook? Now, some of you have larger print. There are some folks that need larger print. So not only do you have the page number for your lessons, but for those that have the larger print, you also have the page number. So my point here is we're trying to maximize the time in class to cover the Scriptures. And so a lot of these pre-things we want to get behind us before class starts. Then you will have a topics. What's going to be covered today? And this is what we're going to cover on Wednesday night. Start with the review, not the world. And then in a lot of our studies, we're just going to be studying really key Scriptures. So we're going to be covering three Scriptures. One thing you will note by this study here is when we get in the Scripture, there's going to be detailed analysis of the Scripture. So for Wednesday, we're only going to cover three Scriptures and then talk about practical applications through four. So you'll see that. So if you're on vacation or you're missed and you come into class, where do we leave off? What are we going to cover today? You're all going to have that right there. Also, after we get the review started, some of the old review questions will be posted and the answers. So if you didn't get a question, maybe it was unclear what the question was, you didn't get the answer, or you got behind, you want to catch up with your questions, just look at the previews, because all the questions will be shown there along with the answers. And then there will be a bunch of key messages, and I'll go through these very quickly here. Key messages, things I want to emphasize, things we studied, and that's just the point of, this is the repetitiveness, to kind of see things we talked about. Okay, so that's the preview. So let's go in now and talk about our class schedule there. I'm on page 4 in your notebooks. So we got 3 months, got 25 lessons. We want to kind of step through and look at what we have planned today, or planned for the quarter, and kind of show you, talk a little bit about some of these subjects. So we're starting today with the introduction. Normally there'll be 2 lessons per topic. It will be our normal route. Hopefully we'll be able to cover that material. So for the next 2 class periods, Wednesday, next Sunday, we're going to be talking not of the world. We know as Christians we are supposed to be set apart. The Scriptures are so clear about this. There are many key Scriptures that are black and white. We are not to be of the world. And we're going to study those key Scriptures to emphasize that we are to be separate. And why are we to be separate? And so we'll talk about that. Of course, our key Scripture we're going to start with is John chapter 17. Okay, then after that, we're going to be talking about 10 principles, right or wrong. And again, this is not a worldliness thing, but it helps us when we get into the different aspects. Is something right or wrong? Here are 10 principles. And a lot of these you know about. For example, we know, when the Bible says you shouldn't do this or you should be doing that, we know when we violate that that's sin. But there's a lot of other things there of right or wrong. For example, the conscience. Are we to violate our own conscience? Well, look at that scripture. You know that, no, we're not. We have a conscience believing something, and we're not to violate it. What about our brother? What about if we cause our brother to stumble and we're doing things that affect him? Well, we know we're not. That's another principle. We don't do things to cause a stumbling block of brethren. There's actually 10 of them. What about things that we engage in that stir lust? No, we're not supposed to be doing things like that. So there'll be 10 of those. And as you see, we'll take five principles one class, five principles the next class. Then we'll start getting into the arms of the octopus, talking about worldliness. Well, first of all, talking about dishonesty. We know we are the children of God. God is faithful. He keeps his covenants. He expects his people, his children, to do the same. We are not to be like the devil, a liar and a deceiver and a schemer. We are to be honest. This is an area that is so easy to become dishonest. There's always this little gray area. And we know we got to be truthful. But do we actually practice truthfulness in everything that we do? And so I'm sure there's some examples here that we get into these gray areas. That maybe we're put on the spot. Maybe we don't kind of shade the truth. It's not, we don't give it a black and white. It's kind of shading. We kind of qualify the truth. Well, are we being dishonest? We want to look at that. Next class is we're going to look at materialism, another very strong thing, especially this time of the season with the holidays here. You know, how many people are really just gung-ho, buying the gifts, engaged in materialism? Well, has that kind of crept into our life? Are there things that we want that, well, I got to do this, and I'm not going to do my Bible study because I got to go to the store and buy these things? You know, is it starting to creep in just a little bit? Or there's things that, boy, are so important to us. All of our time and energy are spent in these things, but when we go to Bible study, we kind of don't give as much time and energy. Or is materialism starting to creep into our life? Then we'll talk about drinking. Drinking is a clear-cut case. The thing about the scriptures, though, is the scriptures are pretty clear. It is against drunkenness, excess drinking. But what about moderate drink? And we're going to look at this thing from a positive and negative standpoint. Some people will argue, well, the Bible talks about wine, people drinking wine. Jesus was drinking wine. Is moderation okay, just a little bit? You know, there's all these good health reports. You drink wine, it's good for your heart. Aren't we supposed to take care of ourselves? Well, just a little, and I'm just doing it. In my family, they know that I'm not a drunkard. Well, is moderation okay? This is kind of a gray area, and we're going to have kind of talk about that area. And this is an area that we maybe come across. And then we're going to talk about drug abuse. Normally, when we think about drug abuse, we think about all the illegal drugs, the cocaine. One of the biggest problems we have in the United States is prescribed drugs. We may be addicted to prescribed drugs ourselves, and it's so easy to take that pill. I feel so much better taking that pill. I'll just take that pill. It's prescribed. Well, is this kind of creeping in? Do we necessarily have to take it? Some medications are required. They're needed. But do we go to the extreme of overusing it? And so here you start seeing the practical application of this thing. Then we're going to talk about occultism. Actually, I'm way behind on my overheads here. That was for the month of December, month of January. We're going to talk about occultism, about mediums and spirits. I don't know if you noticed, the TV is full of this. If everyone watched the Biography Channel, a lot of mediums come in about people that have died, and the medium will go to them, well, your father or your son that died didn't want you to be sad. So there's a lot of this on television. Is this kind of, what do you think about that? How do you answer people when they talk about this, about the spirits? You know, is it real? Can people actually talk to the dead? Can people really, reach out to the other side and know about that? So we'll talk about that. And then dancing. Get into dancing. Now, this is usually not an issue. What are we going to tell about our children? They want to be going to the prom. You know, do we wait till the year they're ready to go to the prom and start talking about dancing? Is that when we kind of spring it upon them? And I had an occasion here, family reunion last year. They had a family dance. You know, and I don't dance, but, you know, that was part of the agenda, a family dance. So you will come across these things. I mean, how do we deal with them? And coming into the – there's actually a change in the schedule here. You saw that I think on this overhead I had dancing in the last of January. I made a slight change in the schedule, but just kind of go through some of the topics. Okay, then we'll talk about idolatry. Idolatry is kind of a strange one because you say, well, We know about idolatry, right? As good Bible students as you are, we know about the idols, about how this was one of the greatest problems the Israelites faced, how they just could not kick it. It resulted in them being taken away into captivity into Babylon. They had a problem with idols. It says, we don't have those type of things anymore. We have maybe sports, maybe recreation. When we get into this thing, I thought I never would say that. But do you realize there has now been an objects that have come to the forefront that people today now are worshiping, just like it was back in those days, back in the Israelites. People now are worshiping objects. I'm going to talk about those objects when we get to this class on idolatry. And we'll talk about dress, sensuality, living sensibly, and then our last class. We'll be doing the review all through this course, but we'll leave the last class period to go back through all the questions. Okay, so that's what we have planned for the next 3 months, and we'll try to do our best to stay on schedule. If we don't, it's important that we cover these scriptures thoroughly, and we get these principles understood and answer your questions, and so if we get behind schedule, we'll just get behind schedule. Okay, so let's now talk about definitions. What do we mean by worldliness? You may be thinking about that in your own mind. What do we mean by worldliness? If you actually look in the Bible and try to find the word worldliness, you won't find the actual specific word. But you know worldliness is all through the Bible. And there are very similar phrases, which basically is talking about worldliness. We'll talk about one next class period. This one here, of the world, in John chapter 17, verse 14. You're of the world. What is that? That is worldliness. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, who were Gentiles, he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk. Is Paul talking about the race, Gentiles? No, he's writing to Gentiles. They were Gentile Christians. Gentiles are being used, sometimes it's used in the Bible, to talk about the world and their practices, their evil practices, and their ways that are sinful. So sometimes you'll see this phrase, you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk. That is worldliness. You see Paul very strongly tell you, that we are not to have any part of a walk like that. And then you'll find the word adjective worldly, talking about worldliness. Okay, so these are phrases that we find in the Bible that talk about worldly, but again, you'll find it, throughout the scripture in many different ways and talk about. So how are we going to define worldliness? I picked this definition. If you have a better one, I'm more than happy to hear how you would define worldliness. It's interesting when you try to find a good definition on the web or in any of the dictionaries. I didn't find one that I really liked. And so this is a definition, I think, and we'll see here, it's got a tie to a scripture of what I define worldliness. The way we're going to define it in this class, unless you have a better suggestion, it are practices, desires, and attitudes of the world that are ungodly. Most of us recognize what worldliness is. And so that's the definition that we'll use. And the scripture that we're going to use as our key scripture that defined it is Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. If you open your Bibles there, let's look at this verse. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Here as we, and I'll show the verse here on the overhead. Here, as we begin chapter 2, as Paul's writing to this preacher, Titus, talking about how older men are to be and older women and younger women and so forth, he goes down. And you get down to verse 11, after he's talking about the bond slaves and the masters. And in verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." And now note verse 12. So salvation has been brought. And these are the instructions we have. Verse 12, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desire and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So verse 12 is a good verse to use to describe what worldliness is. You see, the first part of verse 12 is the negative, things that we are not to do. And then the last part of verse 12 are things that are the positive, things that we are the positive to do. And I would suggest to you that you have a positive definition and you have a negative definition of worldliness. So here's deny ungodliness, irreverent attitude toward God, and worldly desires. We kind of have that in our definition. And on the flip side, if you're not worldly, you're godly. And this is a good definition of being the opposite of worldliness, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So, good definition. And again, if you have a better suggestion of what worldliness is, I more than welcome it. Okay. Griselda? Sister Baird? Exactly. And we'll cover that on Wednesday night. Exactly. We have to live in the world. We're part of the world, but not to have their practices, desires, and attitudes. Okay, let's now go on to the next part of the lesson and kind of talk about the student expectations. So the first part we have here, the first item, as you just look at your notes there, I'm on page 5, is, you know, this class is going to require some work. And I'm going to be asking every student to have their capable student to do the work before class and have their materials done before class. Now, I know there will be some unusual situations, some late working, things come up the family, some disasters that maybe you're not able to keep your class. But we'd really like you to have a mindset to do your very best to have all your work done. Many of you who've had children, when younger, going to Bible class, you always would have your children. Do you have your Bible class? Do you have your Bible lessons ready? Well, let me take a look at it. Do you get all the questions answered? You go over it. We're probably really good on our children to have our Bible lessons. But what about us? It is so easy for us with, you know, the hustle and bustle, and here's another Bible study. We one after another, another. To lose our focus and our discipline and not getting the work done. I have listed here, and I don't need to remind this audience here, about God's instructions about us, about studying God's Word, about being continually devoted to it. It's part of a Christian walk of life. And if you don't think that is, see me afterwards. It's pretty clear. Well, what's the problem? The problem is sometimes we just lose our focus. We get undisciplined. Things crowd out. I'm asking you to spend the time to do the material and do what you can. Do the best you can. We're going to work this in class, so maybe you didn't get some of the questions or didn't finish it. You can kind of finish it in class and try to catch up. But it's very important that you do the material. You'll gain from it. Participation. You've heard the studies. You say, is there any... you say, Rocky, you're going through a lot of work here. Why are you doing this? Well, studies have shown that if you come into a setting, a classroom setting, and you don't have no class materials, you come and you listen to the speaker, and then you come back the next class period, and you're asked, well, go back and what did you remember? Most people will remember about 10%. If they have no written material, you just hear something, you come back class, generally only about 10%. If you have written materials and you're doing some work, you're invested in the class, those numbers jump up dramatically. They go up to like 30% if you do the work. So you're going to hear it in class, you've done the work pre-work, so you're hearing it for the second time, your retention goes up to 30%. And if you participate in class, if you're engaged in discussion, someone mentions something that, and then you comment on something like that, or something I say is unclear, he says, I don't think you're right, Rocky, I don't see that, I'm a little bit unclear. And if you're unclear, probably someone else is unclear, you raise that question, maybe I'll be able to answer, maybe I won't. But going through that discussion helps the overall class. So if you engage in participation, your retention level goes up to like 70%. It's huge. So that's why we're doing all this. Printed materials, lots of notes, lots of work, retention. So you will gain the material. And then, of course, the next expectation here, of course, is to complete answering all the review questions. And again, remember on the previews, eventually all the previews will have all the questions and all the answers. Okay, what are my expectations? Of course, my main duty that I'm held accountable to is rightly divide the word. That's my number one obligation. And everything else supersedes that. This is the number one thing. And hopefully I've done my best to do that. But I ask you, just because, I'm not the normal teacher here, do not feel hesitant about asking me something, or test me. Be good for me, good for you, good for the class. And so offer your comments. Things were unclear or you disagree with that, I welcome disagreement. That's all we have. That's how we learn, by having an open class. The next item is always an item that when I teach class, people do not like. And that is when we go through the review questions, I will ask students to answer the review questions without asking for volunteers. I've done that before. Now, when I do that with discretion. And let me just kind of point out this. If you don't want to answer review questions, it would be just like you did the Isaiah class. You know, there were some people that didn't want to, and I asked you, can I ask you questions in class? I do that privately, and you say, yes, I will, or no, I don't. If you don't want to, I'm not going to ask you questions in class. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to build you up. I'm here to encourage you through the study of God's Word. That review is very, very important. One of the highlights of the class that some of the students pointed out, and I thought was, is we had people in the Isaiah class going through this process. People that would never talk in class, they had really good comments. We had Arthur commenting. Paul was answering some questions. Elvira, Kim. A lot of widespread participation. And it got people involved because they knew I was going to call on you. So that was a little bit motivation to do the material, to understand it, be able to answer in class. And once people started doing that, you know, the people started doing it. So it's all for your benefit. And I will talk to you privately beforehand. If you don't want me to ask questions, I will honor that. And all those in the Isaiah class, I'm going to honor what you had in Isaiah. I remember who you were. And so, but again, I will ask the ones that I did ask in the Isaiah class, can you answer some questions? And I'm going to tell you which one, but be willing to answer the questions. I will do my best in class. I know we have some that are hard of hearing. And so I will repeat any question asked in class or comments the best I can, both for their benefit and also for the audio. And for any questions that are not answered in class, I will address that class at the beginning of the next class. Okay, so that's what we have in store for us. The last thing I do want to point out is in your notebooks there are some references. Of course, the Bible is our main source. But I do want to point out that a lot of this material that I'm using, actually Steve used some of his material back in 1997. We have never had, since I've been here for the last 30 years, a class on worldliness. But Steve, I guess, has taught that in other places, and some of his material I am using, a lot of it. Some of it I've changed, some things I'm adding. Now, I am not here to teach Steve Fontenot's lesson. I'm here to teach the Word of God. I've checked his material thoroughly, and I feel very comfortable with it, that it's in accordance with God's Word. And so a lot of the materials in question was from his work done many, many years ago. Okay, well, we actually are done. We're actually ahead of time. I think I talked about the student expectations. I talked about the instructor expectations. And again, I want to go back and I want you to remember the two most important things of the class. For you to identify, for you and your family, what worldliness have crept in. I want you to share with the class. And the second thing, developing a plan to what are you going to do to combat it. You know, we're not here just to gain Bible knowledge. We're here to be better Christians. We've got to take that word and apply it, see our weaknesses, and then correct it, and then grow as Christians. Okay, well, that's all I had. Thank you for the participation. I guess the bell will be ringing here in a few seconds. And so Wednesday we will be beginning the first lesson on Not of the World. We'll cover the three set of verses, I think, in class. But if you want to go ahead and complete the whole lesson, more than do that. And we will have some review questions on Wednesday. We will start with the review questions, the material that we covered this morning. So thank you for your good attention. Thank you very much.